For more now on the process of recalling a governor in California, we're talking with Professor Bruce Kane, political scientist at the University of California, Berkeley. And Professor Kane, first of all, two questions, as I understand it, will be put to California voters on one day. Should the governor be recalled or not? And second, who else should be the governor? Is that correct?
That's correct. You're simultaneously deciding whether to recall the governor and choosing the replacement.
When will this election take place? Will it be in November? Will it be next March? And who decides?
It'll be decided by the timing of the verification of the signatures that is currently going on in various counties and then ultimately in the Secretary of State's office. And then the process is handed over to the Lieutenant Governor. The Lieutenant Governor has the discretion to call an election after the signatures are certified between 60 and 80 days. If everything goes according to plan and they have the signatures that they expect to have today, then we will have an election sometime between October and November 4th. If the signatures are not valid and they have to go back into the field, then it's quite possible the election will be put off until March.
Let's say that a governor, in this case Governor Gray Davis, facing a recall election, looks at the polls and says, it looks like I'm going to lose. I'm going to be tossed out, and a Republican is going to be picked as the next governor. Could the governor then just say, well, I resign instead. I'm going to moot all this. I'm stepping down, and the lieutenant governor becomes governor instead.
Once the election is certified, the governor cannot resign and then stop the recall. The recall will go forward, and the second part of the ballot will be the operative part. I don't think that's going to happen, A, because this governor is a very determined man, and B, because the polls are indicating that while there's a slight majority in favor of recall, that actually, given the experience of direct democracy in California, is a sign that this thing could be defeated, because usually measures that are barely passing or not passing at all at the time they're first measured by a poll are going to get defeated. So I think at this point, Gray Davis is very unlikely to exercise that option of resigning.
One of the oddities here is that it's conceivable if there was, say, three or four names on the list of people who might be selected as the next governor, it's conceivable that as many as 49% of California voters could say, we don't want the governor to be recalled, but 30% who said, we want this person to be governor instead, that would outweigh the 49% voting against recall.
Yeah, this mechanism doesn't really represent majority government or majority rule, because as you point out, it's very possible for a bare majority of the people who turn out, and the turnout could be very small, to vote for the recall, and then a small plurality of the people that supported the recall could end up being the ones that choose the next governor. So it's conceivable that as few as 5 or 6% of the eligible electorate might end up choosing the ultimate governor.
If, in fact, a recall election is called, and if Governor Davis's first instinct is to say, well, we're against this, so there should be no Democrat on the ballot, how much time do they have before they firm up that ballot and decide who's on it and who isn't on it?
It will depend partly on how many days the lieutenant governor exercises for calling the election. If he takes the 80-day option, then what the law says is that 59 days before the election, you have to file your candidacy, which will leave about 20 days or so for people to decide whether or not to file. And filing is relatively easy. It takes about $3,500 and 65 signatures, and you're in. So what I would expect is the following. You will have a lot of citizens who have an extra $3,500 who just want to be part of the action who get on the ballot. And there may be as many as 100 of people on the ballot under those conditions. But then there'll be the serious candidates. And I think what will happen on the Democratic side is people will see how it's going. If Gray Davis is down by 20 points and it looks for certain that he's going to be recalled, then you might see somebody like a Leon Panetta or a Dianne Feinstein being pressured by people in the Democratic Party to step in those 20 days before the filing period closes and getting into the election. But that scenario only would work, given Gray Davis's personality, if he was way, way down. Mm-hmm. And I think at this point the polls are indicating that's not the case.
He can spend as much as he wants to try to advertise against recall when the campaign begins?
Yes. Again, this gets back to the dual nature of the whole election, because one half of it is direct democracy, in which case there's the court has ruled that there's no, you know, contribution limits or expenditure limits possible. But when it comes to the second part of the ballot, the Republicans will be running under Prop 34, that is our recently passed contribution limitations. So Gray Davis will be able to raise and spend what he needs to. He's also eligible under the state constitution to ask for compensation if he wins.
But you know, you're saying the Republicans who would be on the replacement ballot are limited in what they can spend on themselves, but can't they spend in an unlimited fashion in favor of the recall of Gray Davis?
Yes, that's right. And so you will, you know, they won't be able to advocate for their particular candidacy, but there will be ads run against Gray Davis. And so they'll be able to take advantage of the lack of contribution limits on the recall side of the ballot.
Professor Kane, thank you very much for talking with us today.
You're welcome.
Bruce Kane, political scientist at the University of California, Berkeley, talking with us about the California recall process.